Amen. John chapter number 3, and we're going to begin at verse number 9 and reading. Obvious, this is the Lord speaking with Nicodemus, and he had already told Nicodemus that a man must be born again of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus wondering how that he should enter into his mother's womb. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say that you must be born again. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh." Now, verse number 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God of heaven, we need you today. We need your Spirit to come amongst us and to open our eyes, open the windows, the shutters of the windows, that we might be able to see the way that the word is applied and should be applied into our lives today. I pray, God, that you would let spirit and revelation come into this place. God, that you would let cause a drawing to happen and to be amongst us today. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for the sacrifice that you made, for all that you gave, including your life upon that tree, so that we could go free. And I pray today, Jesus, that we would be able to find the fullness of your word in living view before us today. I pray that you would move amongst us, O God, and we will give you the praise and the glory in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated today. Praise God. I spent some time last night surfing through my Bible concerning some of these things and such, and I began to think about the direction that the Lord was leading me for today. Yesterday we went out to Garvin Park and saw the sea of humanity that was there, and all of the good things that they did, just being there. And I'm just being honest here this morning. And but my spirit was grieved with the casualness that salvation is approached in and amongst religion today. Amen. The thing that should change humanity, mankind, the thing that possesses the power to be able to convert, and when I say convert, I do mean change us, amen, from who that we are and the casualness that it was approached unto. And I saw those that followed a sinner's prayer and did according so, and my mind thought to begin to run, and I began to ponder this throughout the day, is that so many of those, especially those children, they have no earthly idea what they did. And some of them will hold on to that measure. And it's just such a tragedy. It is such a tragedy. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to believe that sins were repented of, but the Bible teaches us that godly sorrow worketh repentance. in our lives. Amen. And the deal is the fruit will bear itself. And people, we are required to change from a sinful life. Praise God. And so meditating upon that, I thought to myself, you know, I will not be preaching the most popular message in the city today, but I perceive that I will be preaching the most powerful message in the city. Amen. Popular is not often power. Popular is not often the powerful way. Amen. And but nevertheless, truth. The Bible said that we should know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Praise God. Sin has been a point of condition for as long as history records. We could go back into the garden and to Adam and Eve, and we could see the fruit of sin there. But we would have to go back before even that, and we would have to see the rebellion that was in heaven manifested in Lucifer. Even that when Jesus would say that I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the heavens. Amen. And so sin has been a part of this world from the beginning. And it is something that even such an old topic, but yet is such a real topic in this day and age. It is a topic that nobody really wants to talk about. The word sin just simply means, and I was kind of astounded by the definition. As a matter of fact, I picked up my phone and I asked Sister Siri what the definition of sin was. And she gave me a very quick definition. And I thought, well, there's got to be more to it than that. And so I got on Brother Google and I asked him what the definition of sin was. And he gave me what Sister Siri had said. And then he gave me just a little bit more. And I thought to myself, the beginning of it, I thought, you know, it is so crazy that this definition, in which it just says that it is an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. Amen. An immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. Amen. When I think of definition, I'm thinking of absolutes. I'm thinking of this is what it is. And when I read a definition that I would perceive, I did not dig into it any further, but when I read a definition that I would perceive has been changed through time due to opinions and due to philosophies, I begin to understand the moral value and the conduct of our world that we live in. An immoral act considered to be a transgression. In other words, there are those that do not consider today, they do not consider such actions a transgression against divine law. And the next part of it said that it implies offense against moral or religious law. It does not state that it is an offense. Amen. But what we can gather from this world's vernacular and their definition of what sin is that it is considered and it implies that there is a transgression against moral law. Meaning that there are those that do not believe that it is so. That such acts are immoral transgressions. That such offenses are moral, are against moral or religious law. In other words, it is the accepted norm of this day and time. And so I thought, what a shame that sin in such great power and such enormous umbrella that it covers so many things, that it is defined as a consideration and an implication of. And in just very, very short words, you can look up other words, and it's like you almost have to have an encyclopedia to be able to read through the complete definition of other words. But when I pulled out my Bible and I went to find out how that the Bible defines the word sin, it just simply says in 1 John 3:4 that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Praise God. In other words, it does not need to be, elucidated, or it does not need to be expounded upon. It does not need to be dissected and multiplied. It is very, very simple. Sin is the transgression of the law. Praise God. But sin is the forbidden word of the time. It is the forbidden subject preventing an individual from having good sense of worth about oneself. When we began to talk about sin, amen, spiritual hearing aids began to be turned off, and people began to shuffle in their seats, and they began to pick through their purses and look through books. They began to run through their mind about things that they have to do today or should have done yesterday or have to do tomorrow. They began to think about the plethora of everything, of items that must be accomplished and done. And the individual that is speaking concerning sin is an individual that is tuned out of their lives. We see that because of sin, that doctors and specialists and even some ministerial counselors and ministers have decided to ignore sin while excusing and justifying people's sin. Amen. They want to redefine sin. They want to call sin different things. Amen. But it's very, very simple. Sin is the transgression of the law. Praise God. Many, many years ago, a noted psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Carl Menninger wrote a book entitled Whatever Happened to Sin. And in the field of psychiatry, he writes, and I quote, he said, sin became a dirty word, which was a scapegoat for most of our mental problems. What convoluted thinking that it is, amen, that sin became the scapegoat for our mental and convoluted mental problems. Amen. Praise God. And he said, it is called terrifying guilt complex. Terrifying guilt complex that was detrimental to good mental health. We decided to pass a law against it, and that way we would not have to worry about sin anymore. Amen. And so they justified, amen, people's sin by putting it under another category. Was speaking to an individual this week concerning an issue that was going on. And part of it was ignorance. Ignorance just simply means that you don't understand it at this point in time, but you can understand it. And so there was the ignorance of it, and then there was the fact that they chose not to understand things. And as we began to discuss further into the situation, I said, you know, that's the problem with this entire world in this day and age. Amen. Praise God. All you've got to do is do a very quick study concerning insurance and prescription medication, and you will see where these things have made their billions of dollars, amen, in order to get
there, what they have done is they have redefined what is categorized as and should continue to be categorized as sin. And so I've come today and I am stating that instead of outlawing sin, really what has happened is we have inlawed it, and now we are accepting enormous daily doses of it. And all that has really happened is we have changed the name of sin. Amen. Back when I was growing up, we used to call it drugs. Now just a person is chemically dependent upon these things. What was once known as adultery has now become known just, amen, instead of such abrasive and offensive terminology, it is simply an affair. Amen. Homosexuality is now an alternate lifestyle. Fornication now is sexual experimentation. Criminal is a defect in character and a victim of their own circumstances. Lewd is called nude. Filth is called fun. And rebellion is touted as liberation. But I've come today to tell you that God has always called sin by its right name. Amen. It's not an accident. It's still an abomination. It's not a defect. Amen. It is a disease. It's not a blunder. It's blindness. It's not infirmity. It's impurity and iniquity. It's not liberty. It's classified as lawlessness. Amen. And the real church of God is going to stand with the word of God, and we are going to still continue to stand against sin. Praise God. We're going to stand against all forms of sin, all manners of sin. And no matter what today's society states, no matter what governments allow and vote in or veto, and no matter what man's beliefs and opinions are, amen, we are going to continue to stand against sin. Hallelujah. The world in its condition that it is in today, amen, is simply because of sin. It's not because of the lack of science. We don't need more tax dollars to find mental disorders and such. Amen. It's not because of lack of medication, but it is because of sin and the oppression that the enemy has. I said this isn't the popular message of the day, but it's the right message of the day. Amen. Somebody needs to stand up and to continue to preach against sin. I want you to know that it was your sin that drew God out of the heavens into human flesh. It was our sin that caused him to die upon a cross. It was our sin, amen, that caused him to shed blood to set us free. It wasn't a mental disorder that we had that caused him to come and to die. It was sin, and sin is the transgression of the law. Oh, let's love him today. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Come on, the church doesn't need to be nervous when the church stands up and preaches against sin. Amen. This is what's going to cause the world to be set free. They've tried other churches and they're still bound by sin. Amen. They've accepted Christ as their personal Savior and they're still bound by sin. But what they need is a revelation. What they need is to come out from among them. What they need is a message of repentance. Amen. To come out and to repent of their sins. What they need is a message of baptism, that every man must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. What they need is a message of filling of the Holy Ghost. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When you experience the Holy Ghost, you're not, amen, you're not just a reformed individual, but you're a regenerated individual. Hallelujah, that's the problem with this world. Amen, once an alcoholic, they're always an alcoholic. And they have to go to AA class. And they have to state that they're an alcoholic. And they have to admit they'll always be an alcoholic. That's not so when you come to Jesus Christ. You've been regenerated. The power of the Holy Ghost washes old things away. And everything becomes new when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. It's not an opinion, amen, that we should just simply strive to do right and be better individuals. But it is a commandment that we are to come out from among them and to not touch the unclean thing. That we are to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Amen. That is a commandment. Why? Because God has, amen, a better way for us to live. You say a better way. Amen. Sounds like
that it's some type of a bondage. That kind of sounds like that's some type of bondage that you got to live in.
And today as I was praying, amen, I'm just a simpleton, and some things take a long time for it to come. But today as I was praying here in the sanctuary, there was a thought that came to my mind. And it was like a light bulb came on to me. And I began to ponder and began to write some of these things down. Amen. And I thought, you know what? If this is bondage, I've got a question. Why is it that bad habits seem to be natural and seem to be addicting? Everything that you think of and you say, you know what? That's a bad habit. You need to break that bad habit. Amen. It just seems that it's a natural thing and it is an addicting thing. Somebody can say it's a bad habit to smoke cigarettes. Amen. But you didn't have to go to school and nobody had to tell you that you needed to smoke cigarettes. It was a natural thing. It was the flesh. It was the flesh looking. It was the flesh craving. It was the flesh wanting to act out in rebellion. Mom said I shouldn't do this. Dad said I shouldn't do this. Amen. The teacher said I shouldn't do this. Amen. I was taught in health that nicotine is addictive and that it messes up my lungs and I can get lung cancer. I shouldn't do this. Amen. But the natural thing is that I'm going to try it. I want to try it. And the addicting thing is that you can't get free from it. And if what I am in is so much bondage, then why does the one that is hooked to nicotine have to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go outside to smoke a cigarette in a non-smoking room? They said, no, they can hide in the bathroom and turn the ventilation fan on. I'm just simply saying it's an addiction. Amen. If what I am in is bondage, then why does the drug addict have to sell, amen, everything that's in the house to pay for another hit? Why does the alcoholic go to the bars before going home and spend an entire check, amen, and keep food off of the table? Amen. That is bondage. Hey, a bad habit is natural and it is addicting. Why? Because that's the carnality of humanity. Amen. That is the desire. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. It's the lure of sin, the draw of sin, the vice of sin, and then the power of sin. Nobody has to teach the young child how to be rebellious. Amen. As a matter of fact, they really can't even speak a fluent language. And yet they will manifest rebellion within them. Try to get them to do something. Push it away. Turn their head. Turn around. Walk off. Amen. Lying seems to be a natural thing. You don't have to go to school, amen, to learn how to lie. But that little 2-year-old will look at you, or that 3-year-old will look at you, or that young child will look at you. And you can ask them, did you take that?
and they'll look at you with it behind their hand, behind their back in their hands, and they'll look at you and shake their head no. Nobody taught them how to do that. Nobody, it's just a natural thing. Sin has a natural way. Amen. And the carnal mind is enmity against God. Praise God. Why are jails filled with individuals, people that are locked up, who are murderers and thieves and who do other vile things, and there is no equal place for those who cannot control their joy? Why is it that jails are locked up with thugs, but there are no jails, amen, for those that are overzealously full of happiness and joy? It's because it naturally does not happen. I know that you have people that are joyful and people that are happy and such. Amen. But much of this you've got to work at. But on the other hand, you don't have to hardly work at any of that thing, of those things. Why does one need to control their anger or even take prescription medication to control their rage? But there's no such pill of one needing to control their happiness and their joy. The answer is simple, but it is an answer that nobody wants to hear. The answer is because of sin. Sin is demoralizing. Sin is destructive. Sin is demonic. And in order to fix the sin problem, one does not need a psychologist. You do not need a psychiatrist. You do not need medication or excuses. But rather, you need the answer for all of sin. And that answer is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That answer is to be born again of the water and the Spirit. That answer is, except a man, be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That answer is, to believe and to be baptized. But he that believeth not shall be damned. The answer is Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. That's the answer. But nobody wants to talk about the answer. And nobody wants to talk about the problem. Amen. We could spend a little while, and I want to hurry. We could spend a little while talking about sin. And some things that we don't even look at as sin any longer. And that has been justified because of former actions. Because of former happenings and experiences. Amen. There's things that have been justified because of parental problems that you supposedly had when you were a child. Amen. And we could talk about these things. Nowadays, fornication is promoted. Because you want to see if you can actually cohabitate between one another and actually live with each other without strangling one another and killing one another. And so fornication is promoted. Amen. Marriages nowadays are seeming to be more open-ended and that we can experience so that we can stay together and we can experience open-ended marriages and such and things. And common law marriage has been a thing that has been going on for years now, but it is the accepted thing. I'm here today to tell you that these things are still a sin. It's still sin. Amen. It doesn't matter what the world has called it and justified it. Amen. It's still sin. And we could talk about a lot of other things. Amen. We could even go as far as to talk about laziness. Amen. Laziness is a sin. The Bible said, amen, that the soul of the sluggard desires, but he has nothing. And that if a man doesn't work, then don't let him eat. And a man that cannot provide for his own family is worse than an infidel. Amen. Even before God gave Adam Eve, he made Adam prove himself in his working ability. reality by keeping the garden. And then when he had proven himself, then he was given a wife. Amen. But nobody wants to preach against these things. But that's the problem of this world. That's why there's so many problems that are out there in the world. That's why prescription medication, amen, and the monopoly of it is in the billions, because nobody will take action and nobody will take responsibility for their problems. And the problem is sin. You've got to be born again. And you must understand that Jesus Christ did not come to save you in your sin. He came to save you from your sin. Praise God. Amen. And so we get into our text here this morning. And in verse number 14 of John 3, Jesus makes mention concerning something. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, I can imagine that Nicodemus, immediately being who he was, immediately began to think about, oh yeah, I remember that story back in the scriptures, the serpent, the fiery serpents and such. And so we go back to the book of Numbers, chapter number 21. And in verse number 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. And you say, wow, that's pretty harsh. That's pretty harsh. Two things. Number one, the people were rebellious. They were rebellious. They had rebelled against God, and they had rebelled against Moses. And so sin demands action. Sin demands judgment. Sin demands death. There is a penalty for sin. Now, Jesus or God did not come down and hold a counseling session with them to make them feel good about their rebellion. He did not come down and justify their rebellion and say, you know what, you're just acting out because of everything that went down in Egypt. And I understand, and I understand that Egypt was hard. And let's talk about Egypt. And Egypt was overbearing. And you had to deal with a lot of things that you should not have had to deal with. And you dealt with those cruel taskmasters waking you up every morning and driving you out to bed and whipping you and beating you and made you wallow around in the mud and for using it for mortar and making bricks and such and all of the straw that you had to carry and stuff. And that was unnatural and that was overbearing. And now you've got a mental disorder because of the weight that was put upon you from the Egyptians. And so what I see here is that you are acting out because of your past. And this is a this is terrifying guilt complex that you have, and so what we are going to do is I'm going to prescribe you with some narcotics or some drug. I'm so far out, I don't even know. I'm going to prescribe you with something so that you can mentally handle this anguish that you are going through. And you know, I understand why you're acting out because everything that you saw was just over the top. And you know, you had to deal with a lot of terrifying things. Let's just face it. You had to deal with the plagues. And you should not have had to deal with that. I'm not saying that, but that's God's fault. But you should not have had to deal with that. You should not have had to go through that. That's an experience that really you should have been void of. But now you probably have mental anguish. And you probably are suffering some PTSD from these plagues that you had to go through. I can't imagine seeing all of the water turn to blood and stuff, and what kind of anxiety that must put upon you, and the anxiety that you have now, and that overbearing feeling, and hyperventilating. And you know, we've got medication that will fit that. I'll send Moses to pick that up for you. And all the frogs and the lice and stuff, I mean, that's just absolutely horrible that you would have to deal with that. And I understand why that you are acting out. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a deep breath in through your mouth, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to slowly exhale through your nose. All right? Okay, now we're going to take a deep breath, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to lose total concentration on everything else, and I want you to focus just on your breathing. I want you to concentrate and make it to where you breathe in one nostril, and then I want you to breathe out the other nostril. And I want you to do that 15 times, and then I want you to change it, and I want you to go vice versa. And this is meditation, and it's going to help you and such. And you know, hearing your story, I understand the trauma that you have faced and that you're going through and such, and the anguish and all the screams that happened back there in the land of the firstborn were died. Oh, what overwhelming just sense of dread and even guiltiness that you must feel. But, you know, we can get you some medication that'll calm you down and that'll help you and that'll get you through all of this. And you are going to be better, okay? All right. Well, you know what? That'll be $200. We'll see you next Thursday. That's not what God did. Amen. But that's what the world of today would do. Well, tell me a little bit about your past. Tell me about your parents. Oh, I already understand. You had one of those parents. Well, look, I can help you out. You know, what you're doing is you're acting out because of what your parents did to you and such and put you through so much anguish and stuff. And so you're acting out because of that. And so we've got some medication that God didn't do any of that. It was stated that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And God had stated that all the witches need to die. It's pretty harsh, but it took care of the problem. And so when it came to rebellion, and they rebelled against God, and they rebelled against authority, they rebelled against Moses and such, there was no medication that was there. It was just cut and dry. And God said, this is the way that we're going to handle things. And there were some fiery serpents that was created that went amongst the people. And they began to bite the people. And when the people were bitten, they would succumb to that poison and they would die. And now you're thinking to yourself, what an awful God. But I want you to know that serpent was a type of sin. And when sin sinks its fangs into you, there is nothing left but death. God was showing them, amen, in a physical way what was happening unto them in a spiritual way. That serpent, it was representative of the serpent, amen, of the devil. And he began to sink his fangs into them, and the poison of sin began to, amen, get into them, and they began to die, because that's where sin's going to take you. Sin is not going to leave you for the best when it's all said and done, amen. But where there is sin, it involves death, amen, for there to be some type of atonement paid. And so the people, understanding that they were succumbing to the bite of the fiery serpents, amen, they began to cry out to the authority, to the man of God, for their answer. And they began to say, ask the Lord and tell the Lord to stop this and to heal us and to save us from the bite of the serpent. And so Moses began to pray, and God told him, he said, I want you to take, amen, a serpent, a brazen serpent, serpent. I want you to put it upon a stick, and I want you to raise it up, and everybody that would look unto that, they shall be saved. If they've been bitten by sin, amen, if they'll look unto that, then they shall be saved. And the Bible said that Moses did accordingly, and that all that were bitten by the serpent, when they looked unto that brazen serpent, amen, brass represents judgment, and they looked, there was judgment that came, and they were saved. They didn't understand the fullness of it then. And there could have been some that said, oh, how ridiculous is that? Amen, that being bitten by a serpent, if all that we got to do is just look upon that brazen serpent, everything will be okay. That's just ridiculous. I wonder if there were those that died because they refused, amen, to listen. I don't know, but I do know that there were those that when they were bitten by sin, bitten by the serpent, that they looked unto the brazen serpent, and that they were healed, and that they were saved. And you know what? Everybody got happy. And the Bible teaches us that's Numbers chapter number 21. Amen. The Bible teaches us that everybody was happy, and that they were rejoicing in the Lord, and that the favor of God was upon them. And they began to multiply and began to grow. And there was a man by the name of Balak in Numbers chapter number 22. And he said, you know what? These people are becoming more than us, and we can't overtake them, and we can't overpower them. He was the king of Moab. And so he called for the prophet, and he said, I want you to curse these people. And Balaam said, I can't curse them as long as the favor of God is upon them. And Balaam blessed them three times, and Balak got all upset and mad, and he said, I called you to curse them, and you're doing nothing but blessing them. And Balaam gave us a revelation. He said, as long as they're not in sin, the favor of God is going to be upon them. But if you want God to curse them, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Get them involved in sin, because sin will bring destruction. Sin will bring judgment. Sin will bring the wrath of God. Don't tell me that the wrath of God, amen, is not upon the face of this earth with all the sexually transmitted diseases that are running rampant through the land, with all of the other vile things that's running through the land. And that's what Balak did. He got the children of Israel to fall into whoredoms with his ladies of Moab, and the blessings of God came off of the children of Israel, and sin was there, and sin demanded a great punishment, and all of those that was involved in that sin had to die. They did. And there was that was involved because of sin. And the Lord said, take all of them that are involved in sin, kill them, and hang their faces up in front of everybody. Let them see. No. That's too tragic. We don't do things like that in this day and age. And that's why we have such a sin infestation. That's why we have such a sin problem. Amen. Praise God. In this day and age, amen, if a preacher would stand up and name sin and call sin out, he'd be fired. He'd have to go look for another job. Doing his job, he'd be fired, and he'd have to go look for another job because he stood up and called sin out. Amen. But when I grew up, we were afraid that the preacher was going to call us out, that the preacher was going to stand us up and say, hey, stand up. And as the Bible says, rebuke before all so that all may fear. And you know what? That kept a lot of people from doing a lot of things. Amen. Because sin demanded judgment. Sin demanded an action. And so we began to progress through time. And I'm going to move very quickly here. But as we progress through time, and we see that there was the brazen serpent that brought restoration unto them. And they fell into into sin again. And they would do this time and time again. Now we get to the book of Kings. And we find there a king by the name of Hezekiah in the book of 2 Kings chapter number 18. And there is a man, there's a king by the name of Hezekiah. And he begins to go through things. And he begins to tear down, amen, the idols and the groves and the high places of things that was worshipped, amen, in idolatry. And then it went on to say something like this. He said that he removed the high places, and he broke the images and cut down the groves, and he broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nehushtan. They had named this place. I do not believe that they were involved in idolatry for all of those years. Number one, I don't believe that Moses would have allowed it. Number two, I don't think Joshua would have allowed it. Number three, David would not have allowed it. Number four, amen, Solomon probably would not have allowed it in his earlier years. And there are other kings that came in between all of this. Amen, that Asa and Jehoshaphat, amen, they probably would not have allowed such folly. But in the days of Ahab, amen, and in marriage of Jezebel, and the bringing in of all of these things, somewhere or another, they went back and they found the relic of the brazen serpent, and they began to worship that brazen. You know why? It's because humanity desires a way out. Humanity is not happy. Amen. If they're happy, then why, amen, do we have overdoses? Why do we have suicides? Why do we have all kinds of deaths and tragedies because of the addictions of sin? It's because they desire more. I've got to have some. This ain't working. This isn't the fix. You thought that adultery was going to fix it, and you're just as miserable today as you were back then. You thought that fornication would be the answer, and all it's done is brought guiltiness. Amen. You thought, I gotta have another fix. Amen. And somebody realized somewhere or another, hey, what about the brazen serpent? It helped us at one point. And they brought it back, and they began to worship it. But it wasn't the serpent, amen, it wasn't the hand of God that was there. They were worshiping an idol now, worshiping an idol. And Hezekiah takes that idol that they have now named Nehushtan, and he breaks it, and he crumbles, and he grinds it to powder, and he destroys it, and he goes about. Why? It's because people want an answer. They're looking for something. They're desirous of something. And somebody's got a story of years ago. Oh, years ago, we looked unto a brazen serpent, and it brought victory unto us, and it brought healing unto us. It wasn't that that did it. It was the faith in looking and being obedient. Amen. And somebody's got an answer here, and somebody's got an answer there, and everybody's trying this. And somebody says, well, if you try this church up there, you can accept the Lord as your personal Savior. And they go there, and they look at everybody, and they think to themselves, I know him, I know her, I know that person over there. Hey man, I don't know, I wouldn't let them watch my kids. I wouldn't invite them over to my house. I feel like they'd steal everything that's in my house. And they realize, this isn't my answer. And they're looking here, and they're looking there. And so Jesus, he begins to reply back to Nicodemus, and he says, as it was in the days when Moses made a brazen serpent and he lifted it up, it's got to happen again. But this time it's not going to be a brazen serpent. It's going to be the Son of Man. Amen. The one clothed in sin. Amen. The one taking on the sins of the whole world. He is going to have to be lifted up. That's why the prophet in the book of Isaiah said, amen, as the Lord spoke it, he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the world, for I am God, and there is none else. And so I've come to tell you today, amen, that the most unpopular message in the religious world today is going to be the most powerful message, and that is that you must repent of your sins. If you want to be set free, you must repent of your sins. You must come out from your sins. You must walk away from your sins. Amen. You must do the best that you possibly can to do that. And you say, preacher, I've tried that. I've tried walking away. I've tried quitting. I've tried, amen, breaking atomic habits. I've tried doing this. I've read books. Amen. I've tried all these things trying to fix myself. I've been to AA. I've tried Nicorette. I've tried all these things, and I'm still bound up. I've went to detox. Amen. Centers. I've went to dry out centers. Amen. I've been to drug addiction facilities, and nothing seems to work. I've tried all these things. I've tried, but it just doesn't seem to work. I'm telling you, your answer is Jesus Christ. Amen. Your answer is not justification for your sin. Amen. The answer is to repent of your sin. Amen. The answer, amen, is to ask God to help you. The answer is to be baptized baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what he came to do. He came to make a way for you. He came to heal you. He came to save you from your sins. And it took being lifted up on a cross and blood being shed, amen, to redeem you. Let's stand here this morning. Paul said, for what the law could not do, and understand that sin is a transgression of the law. And Paul said, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's why. That's why there is a Calvary. And not just a Calvary, but that's why there's a resurrection. Because he came and he gave himself and offered himself upon a tree. And the Bible said that he was bruised. He was beaten. For everything that we did wrong, for all of our sin, he took it upon him, and he went to Calvary, and he was lifted up so that you and I could be free. And the blood that ran down his face and his back and his body and dripped down there into the ground established redemption for all of mankind. By his stripes we are healed. You're healed physically. You're healed of sickness. Be healed of disease. You're healed mentally. You say, preacher, there's mental illness upon the face of this earth. There sure is. There sure is. But there is a God that can bring healing to all of that. Because the power isn't just in that he died, but the power is that he rose again and that he was resurrected. Brought back life so that you and I could have life more abundantly. Drastic measures, because that's what sin demands. Sin demands drastic measures. And so there is an answer here today, and it's called an altar. And you can come and you can repent of all of your sins. The Bible teaches us in the book of 1 John 2 that God is just and able to forgive you of your sins. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far that you've gone. It doesn't matter any of those things. You can find forgiveness at an altar today because of the blood that was shed at Calvary. Amen. I'm opening up these altars here this morning. Would you come? Amen. Would you just join in as the saints of God with the saint of God as they come today? Amen. Would you come find a place to pray? Would you come wash out before God and repent of those sins? God, would you forgive me of my sins?